The philosopher Santayana once said, "I don't know who discovered water, but I'm sure it wasn't a fish." Because when you're inside of something, used to something, you almost don't know that it's there. That's why sometimes it takes someone from outside your family to teach you about your own family, because to you it's natural. Everyone works this way until someone from outside comes and says, "No, not everybody works that way." And sometimes you have to step back and explain who it is and what it is that you believe, because you're so steeped in it, you don't realize that other people may not, in fact, have the same understanding that you do. So over the next three Shabbatot, I'm going to talk about conservative Judaism. Because I grew up the son of a conservative rabbi in a conservative synagogue, very much like this one, with some differences. And I went to a day school where many of the teachers were conservative, not all, but many, and most of the kids were. And to Camp Ramah, which is a conservative Jewish summer camp, I lived and breathed it. It was like water to me. But I realize that not everybody had the same upbringing that I did. And so it would be helpful to explain what I have always understood conservative Judaism and therefore synagogues like this one to represent. And I'm going to do it by taking God, Torah, and Israel, one sermon each, even though all of them deserve a lifetime. But I'm going to do it in reverse order. I'm going to start with Israel, then get to Torah, and conclude with God. So this morning, I want to tell you from a lifetime, truly a lifetime, of being in the conservative movement and studying with teachers who believed in conservative Judaism, how the conservative Jewish tradition views the people Israel and the land of Israel. The first thing to know is that of the three, in some ways, conservative Judaism has always been identified with the people. Because from early on, the conservative movement in its inception in America was the only one of the movements that was Zionistic. The other movements either felt, on one side, that it was a betrayal of America to support Israel too strongly, so you should be very careful. On the other side, that the Zionists were mostly non-religious, and that God was supposed to bring us to Israel, so people shouldn't. And then there was Solomon Schechter in the middle, the head of the seminary, which is the fountainhead of conservative Judaism, who said, "No, it is our responsibility to build the land of Israel." And from early on, the conservative movement understood, as it still does, how crucial the land of Israel and the rebuilding of the land of Israel is to Jewish identity and future. But also the people Israel, Klal Yisrael. And here is where our understanding differs from some others. The conservative movement always believed that there is a difference between tolerance and pluralism. Tolerance means, look, you're wrong. Everybody knows you're wrong. But I'm going to let you be wrong because I'm tolerant. So I'm not going to persecute you and I'm not going to yell at you. And I'm not going to point fingers, and I'm not going to insult you, but I want you to know you're wrong, but it's okay with me. That's tolerance. Tolerance is a good thing in a divisive society. You don't have to think everyone else is right all the time. You just have to be tolerant. But that wasn't what I learned as a conservative Jew. I learned to be a pluralist, which is a way of saying, I'm sure there are many things I could learn from you. I know there are things in your position, even though they're not mine, that are probably better than mine. I know that the Jewish people can't do without you, even though you're different from me. So I would never say, gee, I wish this movement or that movement was eliminated, because I'm a pluralist. Because I think the Jewish world needs all kinds of Jews, not just one kind of Jew. Because I know that Herzl never put on tefillin. I know that Ben-Gurion didn't daven every day. But that the Jewish world needed them at least as much, in fact more, than most Jews who do both those things. That we need all kinds of Jews. And that as soon as someone says, this kind of Jew is illegitimate or that kind of Jew is illegitimate, I know one thing, I'm not listening to a conservative Jew. Because I was taught we don't say that about other groups and traditions inside Judaism. And one of the reasons we don't is because conservative Judaism takes history seriously. And we know what happens when groups start pointing at each other and saying, you don't count. We know because this may be a surprise to you, but it has happened before in Jewish history. In fact, the destruction of the First Temple, we are told, is because Jewish groups couldn't get along with each other. Because they said, your point of view is not permitted, it's wrong, we have to destroy it, we have to wipe it out, nobody should support it. Sinat chinam, baseless hatred. Because we know in the 18th century that Hasidim and Mitnagdim were at war with each other, and the result hurt both groups tremendously. So one thing that I have discovered in life, both as a conservative Jew and a human being, is this. When someone tells you there's only one way, it's always his way. And that makes me suspicious. Because I don't think, we'll get to this when we get to God, I don't think God has given any of us a monopoly on truth. And when our sages say, Shivim panim la Torah, that the Torah has 70 faces, I don't think anyone knows all 70. And we know none. In fact, one of the things that every conservative rabbinical student is taught is the following section of the Talmud, which, if you don't know it, may surprise you. The rabbis in the Talmud say once Moshe was watching God write the Torah, and God was making the little crowns on top of the Torah letters. And Moshe said, what's with the decorations? I'm paraphrasing. And God said, one day there will arise a scholar and teacher in Israel who will be so great that he will even be able to interpret the crowns on the letters. Moshe said, I would like to be privileged to see that scholar and teacher. So God said, you may do that. I will send you to his Beit Midrash, to his house of study. And magically, Moses, although no one could see him, was sitting in the back of the study hall of Rabbi Akiva. Now, here's the amazing part of the story. Rabbi Akiva was teaching, and Moses didn't understand a word. He was teaching things that Moses didn't know, had never said, didn't even understand. And then one of the students said to Rabbi Akiva, how do you know this? And he said, it's Torah of Moshe Misinai. It's the Torah of Moses from Sinai, and Moses felt better. Because he understood that the people Israel change the traditions of Israel, but that's the way it must be. That as we move through the lands that we went in our exile, that we learned different languages, different tunes, different ideas, different customs, different ideas, but all of them were part of Klal Yisrael, of the people Israel. That as a conservative Jew, I understand that everyone who contributes to the totality of our tradition, their contribution is legitimate. That we don't say to one another, your approach, your contribution, your ideas are illegitimate because they're not like mine. We are not settled and we are not static. We have changed throughout our history. The Judaism of Moshe is different from the Judaism of Rabbi Akiva, is different from the Judaism of the Rambam, and it's different from the Judaism of today. And that's good. Because if I could give you one slogan, it is this: you will never get unity if you insist on uniformity. In other words, we'll never be together if we have to be the same. Because we'll never be the same. We never have been. We never will be. And that's the reality of Jewish life. It is organic. It changes. It grows. And how beautiful that is. You remember who was offered the first presidency of Israel? Einstein. Now, why do we claim Einstein as a paradigmatic Jew? Why does everybody say, "Ah, the greatest Jew, Einstein"? You think Einstein could have read from the Torah this morning? Don't think so. You think he wrapped tefillin? You think he kept kosher? But the point was, his contribution was the contribution that only Einstein could make. So if we had insisted that he only gets to be in the group if he does all these other things, then you're crushing the uniqueness that gave the world so much. You have to embrace more, not less. Be more open, not more closed. Recognize that all the ages and stages that the Jewish people have gone through have marked them and changed them, and that that's a beautiful thing, not something to be afraid of. You know what it's like when someone new comes into a family. There's resistance, there's distance, because they're different. But with time comes embrace and enrichment and growth. And in our Jewish family, every different part of it contributes to the whole. Sometimes it will unsettle us and challenge us and even wound us. Sometimes it will hurt. Nobody likes to really change. We like to change in ways that aren't really so much of a change. But it's hard to change. Yet we have to remember the words of Rav Kook, that our task as Jews is lichadesh et hayashan, to renew the old, ulichadesh et hachadash, and to sanctify the new. You have to do both. You can't say, no, only the old counts and the new is bad. Especially not in a world in which so many changes have given us so many blessings, in which we live in a world that our ancestors couldn't have dreamed of. Who can say that the new is bad? But you have to find ways to sanctify it, to make it holy, to bring it in the very large tent that we call Israel. That's our mission as conservative Jews in Israel. It is to say, you know, if a Reform scholar or an Orthodox scholar or a secular scholar has an insight into Torah, I will absorb it because I will quote from anybody who has wisdom and insight. I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. I would never say I can't quote that insight because the person who said it doesn't believe the same things I believe. What a sad, narrow, blinkered way of looking at the world that would be. So, I will have more to say about the way in which conservative Jews experience Torah and the way in which we think about God and feel about God. But here's how I was raised: that conservative Jews have to be active in federations, that they had to fight for the freedom of Soviet Jewry, that they had to support the land of Israel, that they had to go to synagogues, conservative, reform, didn't matter, that they had to recognize the authorities of scholars and teachers in Israel, whatever stream they came from. Because, as Solomon Schechter said, over 100 years ago, the most important early leader of conservative Judaism. Nothing Jewish, he said, is alien to me. If it's Jewish, it's mine. I claim it. And if you ask me why, my answer is because I'm a conservative Jew. Shabbat Shalom.